I think we'll call it, what do you think? Pick a title, please. Would you like to call this sheer the angelic apple or the apple, the esrog, and angels?
The first one.
Angelic apple. How about the angelic esrog? No, the angelic apple should be better. All right, well, so this sheer will be called the angelic apple.
Deal.
Here we go.
Well,
we'll put it all together and you can vote. You can vote on the title at the end. Shulchan Aruch tells us that we have these simonim on Rosh Hashanah. You guys all did this?
Yeah.
So.
They're different spread in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. So the Mechaber lists certain ones in the beginning and then the Ramah chimes in with two more. So do you know which ones the Ramah chimes in with or which ones the Mechaber doesn't have?
Carrot. I didn't eat carrot. It wasn't one of them.
That's because it's a vegetable. You don't eat your vegetable.
Rubia.
You eat your vegetable.
No. Rubia is one of them.
So that's already the Mechaber. He has a list. Rubia, which is Tilson, Karsi, Silka, Tamri, and Kra.
Oh, so dog and...
So the Ramah chimes in with Tapuach.
Right.
And then the next word is hard to punctuate. Is it Tapuach Masok, Kama, Bidvash, a sweet apple and honey? Or is it Tapuach Masuk Bidvash, sweetened in honey? How do you read this? Is it a sweet apple or is it an apple sweetened with honey?
What matters?
Oh, what matters is, are you eating an apple? That's the simmon. Like we eat a whole bunch of things and you're eating the apple. But it's an apple that's been sweetened in honey. Or is what you're trying to do to actually sweeten the apple with the honey? Is the honey really the ikar? Is the apple the ikar? What's the role of the honey over here? What's the role of the...
I'm angry.
Is it a, and also, by the way, is it a sweet apple? In other words, are you sweetening the apple that's not sweet?
Aren't apples all sweet?
No.
You could have like a sour apple, you know? You're not supposed to have sour stuff on Rosh Hashanah, no? Anyway, that, and the other one the Ramah mentions is Rimonim, the pomegranates.
But Sfarim
already
ate that. That was one of them.
Well, you know, you've been Ashkenazicized, I guess. Can you do it? Nothing wrong with that, right? You've been Ashkenazicized. So, do you guys have any idea what in the world is the symbolism of the apple and the honey?
Last time I'm doing this.
Let's hear it. What do you say?
Say
it again. Well, there's a Yehi Ratzon for all these things, right? And what is the gist of the Yehi Ratzon?
To get rid of your enemies.
No, but most of them are what?
To get rid of your enemies.
But because of the name of that particular one. Right?
For something in the future.
So if it's like, you know, I don't know, Karsi, Silka, you're being Misalek, the Oivim, right? And you're giving them Kares. So, you know, the Gezer, Gzardin. Like, it has to do with the name, usually. So you say, you know, Yehi Ratzon that matches up with, like, the name of the particular siman. What about the apple? What's the Yehi Ratzon for the apple? Hello? What does that do with an apple?
Wow.
So the answer is, well, because there's honey.
I have one of the grossest fruits on Rosh Hashanah.
So what did you pick an apple for?
I can't tell you what it's called because I don't remember. A lychee?
Oh, I love lychee.
Is it like a little tiny
ball? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it comes in a
chunk. That's the grossest thing I've ever had.
It's so weird. They're sweet.
It was an eyeball. I feel like I was eating an eyeball.
Well, you're going to have really gross ears.
Maybe you put the wrong thing. Did you have one of those sheep's heads at your table?
It's like a little tiny thing, right?
So wait, it's like, right? But it's like covered in like...
Yeah, it has a certain consistency. I don't know.
It feels like I'm holding an eyeball. Not like I know what an eyeball feels like. Like, if...
All right. Okay, but stop getting us distracted. So, what's the pshat in the apple?
No pshat, just the apple.
Because it's a circle of life. It's a circle. So it's like,
but it just says, have a sweet new year.
Oh, so then it seems that the...
Because apples and honey taste good together. What's...
Fine. But how come all the other simanim have, like, a name? And the name of the fruit is what creates, is what gives us the Yehi Ratzon. And then the apple...
Apple is probably the first...
So, clearly the honey is the ikar, not the apple is the ikar.
Okay, so why do you need an apple?
But it could be the apple.
My son sat there with his little stick. He made it in school, a little honey dish, and he had a wooden stick. So he sticks a stick in the honey, and he said, look in the stick. Boy, did my father get upset. He's like, that is not what we do. We do not just eat honey.
That's why.
But that's just what he was eating, the honey.
The apple is the first original sin. The Mechaper.
Right. So anyway, there's a machlokis. There's a machlokis of what the fruit was of the Eitz Hadas, right?
I'm not saying that it was the actual apple.
That's right. Everyone agrees.
That was the first sin.
It wasn't an apple.
Supposedly used an apple.
Right. Everyone agrees. Whatever it was wasn't an apple. Right. Right. Avi?
Yeah, it was like grapes.
Everyone agrees, whatever it was.
Grapes.
It wasn't,
wasn't
that.
I know.
Oh, okay.
You need that. Or wheat or something.
Right.
You're like, so grapes make sense.
Thanks, thank but you, mommy.
Can you say that it's...
Yeah.
It God, does mean the apple, oh. Because if you're translating it as sweet, like a sweet apple, right? You said there were two ways of punctuating.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're saying it's a sweet apple, right. Then it is in the name. Because the sweetness defines the apple, and it would also define the year.
Okay, so Sam wants to make a suggestion, wants to get us moving someplace. Mm-hmm. He wants to say that if it's a sweet apple, so then it does have to do with the apple, not so much the name, like everything else. But that's the Ramo anyway, you know. It's not the Mechaber, the Ramo is adding it. But so it's different than the other ones. But he wants to suggest that it has to do with being sweet, if it's a sweet apple. But if it's an apple sweetened with honey, then you're stuck.
Something deeper.
Something deeper.
Then it's contingent on the honey, and I have
it's
no
it's
idea
not
why
it's not physical. There's something
specifically
about an apple.
So, al pi halacha, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you should just know, hatapuach ikar umivarech alav upoter hadvash. That the apple is the ikar. You make the bracha on the apple, and you don't make a bracha on the honey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you eating the honey?
You're dipping the apple, not you make a bracha on the apple, not on the honey.
So the main thing is the apple.
That's the ikar.
So,
because it's like you have like chocolate covered.
Yeah, but
almonds,
wouldn't you,
are
right,
you,
wouldn't you
almond,
have to make a bracha on the apple anyways?
Of course.
So the question is the apple like a spoon? And you're simply facilitating your
the
eating
honey.
Of the honey?
This conversation makes me want to shoot things. Maybe my head.
There is a shtickel halakhic shaila here. That's why the Mishnah Berurah chimes in. Mishnah was trying to say that if the whole point is to eat the honey, so then...
Do you have to, by the way?
No, I mean, you still get a happy, sweet
according
New Year.
According to this,
it's
hard to don't,
it,
but
well,
like,
happy
my,
year,
my Semanim thing, my Machzor had it in there. And the dog with the... And the keves.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have one of those...
English song that you have to sing.
There's really elegant kids love to sing those.
Like,
you have like a really, really salty fish.
Yum,
and you
want to
eat it. You're like herring, and maybe some shad and herring sometimes. You can't really eat it unless you put it on a cracker.
True.
But you're not eating it on the cracker because you want to eat a cracker. You're eating it because you can't stand the saltiness of the fish.
Yep.
What bracha do you make?
On the
fish. Cracker.
Because
no.
You're having
the
fish.
The cracker is a mizonal.
If you're really only eating it because you have to take away the saltiness of the fish, that's really
say,
the only reason for the cracker, then you only make shakal.
Yeah, but can you honestly say that...
I'm just not sure.
You
what
eat about crackers. That's just the way that
okay.
You eat it.
So if that's a sandwich
you,
type
you,
of thing,
you
make
the mizonos. Mizonos. To get away with it, since like you're a kid, you have one cracker first, make mizonos, and then you make the other
bracha on that. If it has to be makom sudas, you have to have a kazayas. So make sure you have a kazayas.
I have a question. What about
of
chocolate?
Of your mizonos.
Like,
well, at a kid.
Herring
elite.
Oh, of mizonos. Of mizonos. Okay.
Chocolate covered almond.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Like
no.
Having for the chocolate or having
same
for the almond.
That's the Shiloh. What's the ikar and what's the tafel? Because obviously everybody knows that chocolate is ikar and the almond's only there to get the chocolate flavor.
It's all about
it's questioned. Anyway, but that yeah, but that's an issue. What do people eat the chocolate covered almonds for? For the almond or for the chocolate? So depending on could depend on the individual. So Mishnah Berurah is saying that the ikar is the apple. So the question is, how far do we go with that? Is that sort of like, well, you have to say that because by definition, honey is, you know, or is like, what's he really getting at? So, anyway, without getting involved in all of the brachos shailas of the simanim, what's going on with the apple? So, I did some research.
I hope so.
And I'll share my research with you. And the purpose of this...
Tomorrow.
Purpose of this is to connect the simon of the apple and honey on Rosh Hashanah
to angels,
to Yom Kippur, and Malachim. And I think you'll see something interesting. It sounds a little bit silly at first. It
sounds far-fetched.
But you'll see there's actually a very beautiful pshat here. So give me a chance. There is a pasuk in Chumash that says that when Yitzchak wants to give the brachos to Esav, so he sends Esav to the field, remember?
Yes.
To the Messiah. And Yaakov comes dressed up like Esav and gets
to Yitzchak.
And comes to Yitzchak to get the brachos. So that pasuk, when Yaakov approaches Yitzchak, pasuk says, Vayigash, he approached, Vayishak lo, and Yitzchak kissed him, Vayorach, anybody know the pasuk? Vayorach es reyach bigadav, which, not so loosely translated, means that he smelled the scent of his clothing. He smelled the scent of his clothing. He thought it was Esav. So obviously, the fabric softener Esav used was very
distinct.
Was very good. Probably Armin's hammer.
That was good.
And he blessed him. Vayomer re'ei reyach b'ni, see the scent of my son, because everyone sees scents. Kireach sadeh. Asher Berchoy Hashem is like the scent of a field that God has blessed. So again, so Yaakov dressed up as Esav approaches, he comes close, and Yitzchak kisses him, and he smells the scent of his clothing, and he gives him a bracha, and he says, see, the scent of my son is like the scent of a field that Hashem has blessed. Good? Got that? It's a little strange. Yeah, I mean, what do you make of this pasuk? He smelled his clothes, and because he smelled good, he blessed them. I'm serious. Like when you encounter this pasuk, what in the world is it supposed to mean? He smelled his clothes, and because he smelled so good, he blessed them. And then he made a comment that my son smells like a field,
like an apple field.
But yeah, but that God blessed a field, a blessed field. So the Targum has a certain shot that we're gonna skip. Rashi. I'll tell you what it is if you want. He says it has to do with the Keteris. That he smelled like Keteris. So that's a totally separate shot altogether. That has to do with Beis HaMikdash and the future of Beis HaMikdash and whatever. But that's a totally different avenue of understanding. Rashi. Rashi says, Vayorach, he smelled. V'alein reyach ra'yoser mishetav izim. How in the world could he smell so good? What's he wearing again? He's got like goat skin that sounds like it was freshly ripped off the goat on him, and I don't know what how good can he possibly have smelled, you know? Elamalamed, it teaches you shenichnisa imoy, entered along with Yaakov Avinu, reyach gan Eden. The scent of what?
Gan Eden.
Gan Eden.
So Esav walked with that.
Well, it's not Esav, right?
No, Yaakov.
So then Yitzchak has to know that it was Yaakov. Because how would it be
Esav?
Well, that's why he blessed him, right? Because in walked Esav with the smell of Gan Eden. He said, oh. Or maybe he knew it was Yaakov. But in any case,
I'm so confused.
Well, all we are focusing on right now is what exactly is going on in this pasuk. So what happened was that whoever this fellow that came in is, which we know is Yaakov Avinu, he entered with a certain scent that Yitzchak smells, and because of the scent, it seems like he's giving him a bracha because of that. So what's going on with this smell?
But
so says Rashi.
The scent has to be, or Esav is.
What?
To make it more like authentic or whatever, that it's really Esav, so doesn't he need to smell
he
like
borrowed Esav's cologne.
No. Yes. So Esav is walking around with the smell of
Gan
Eden also?
No. But when Yaakov walks in, so Yitzchak gives him a bracha because he smells the scent of Gan Eden.
But this was supposed to be Esav.
He may think it's Esav. Maybe that makes him worthy of bracha. After all, if Esav walks in, he smells like Gan Eden. Certainly he's worthy of bracha.
How do Yitzchak know what Gan Eden smells like?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. But Rashi goes on to say, Kireach sadeh asher berach Hashem. And Yitzchak made a statement, and he says, take a look. The scent of my son is like a field that's been blessed by Hashem. What does that mean? Rashi, shanasan by reyach toiv, that it's been given a very good smell. V'zeh stei tapuchim. I'll put that in quotation marks for now. This is a field of tapuchim, which we would want to translate as
apple.
An apple orchard.
But
we'll see, it's not
really
so much.
Potatoes.
Kein Darshi Rabbu Seinu. This is a chazal. It is a Gemara in Tainis Chav Tesamid Beis.
Wait, tapu, like you can say tapua, that's like openness?
No, it means a field of some kind of fruit called tapuchim. Tapuchim we usually translate as an apple. Tapuche adama. Yeah, so it's the tapuchim. Potatoes fields probably don't smell so good, but an apple orchard, I don't know. Probably smells nice, I guess.
Well, we were in a cherry orchard. Orchard
and no, apple orchards smell
it
awesome.
Didn't smell like anything.
So, Tosfos comments on the Gemara. Tainus Chavtasim Beis. Tosfos says, what does it mean, a stay shel tapuchim? Zach Tosfos shel tapuchim, yesh mefarshim tapuchim, kereach, esroigim.
Ugh.
Tapucha means reyach esroigim.
So a lemon? So, that's sour.
No, etrog.
Etrog.
Yeah, but what do etrogs taste like?
They don't taste so good.
But
they need to be sweetened. But maybe you should dip the esrog in the honey. But wait. So first things first. So what everyone points to is this pasuk. That stei shel tapuchim is the scent of Gan Eden. So the scent of Gan Eden is stei tapuchim. Apple orchard is how we would have translated it. Well, Rashi doesn't translate it for us. He just says stei tapuchim, which is a Gemara. The Gemara says that he had the scent of Reach stei tapuchim, of a field and apple orchard. Well, that's how we would translate it. But Tosis on the spot says you should just know that it refers to Esri. Or at least some say it's an Esri. Not what we would say. An apple. I don't know. That's all Tosfos says. So, I took a look at the Marsha. Marsha says something very interesting. Marsha says, Tosfos, of course, quotes that it's Esroigim. Where did he get it from? So,
where did he get it from?
What? He got it from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and the translation of the Targum Yonasan. Because on the pasuk Kitapuach Ba'atzi Ayar, the Marsha says, Targum Yonasan Kitapuach Ba'atzi Ayar Ke'esroigim Beinei Ilone. Kitapuach Ba'atzi Ayar, like a tapuach tree amongst the trees of the forest, like esroigim amongst the trees. So Targum Yonasan apparently is translating tapuach in Shir HaShirim as
a nectar.
And that's what Tosfos is quoting. Ulai shedikdik lefarish esroigim al p'mashik pasuk b'midrashos. Maybe, listen to this chat. Maybe, says the Marsha, another reason or the reason why it's esroigim is because of the following. Ki reyach gan eden shenichles im Yaakov, this reyach of gan eden that entered with Yaakov to Yitzchak, hayam meha begadim, was from the clothing, right? Is that what the pasuk says? Vayarech es reyach Big adav. So why in the world is there an esrog flavor, fragrance, in his clothing? So what's the answer? Do you know? What clothing is Yaakov Avinu wearing at this point?
The goat skin.
Esau's.
The skin is blocking his smooth skin. So the goat skin made him appear to be furry. But what clothing was he wearing? So there's a medrash, remember?
Esau's clothing.
Which?
His work. Oh.
Something specific, right?
His shadow's clothing.
It says that Rivka dressed him in a certain type of clothing, you remember?
I don't remember.
Hachamudois.
It's beautiful clothing.
So what does that mean? So there's a medrash on this. That it was the clothing that was chamud, that was very precious to Esau because of where he got them from. Because come on.
Got it from Adam.
You got it.
I knew it.
Adam Harishon had these some kind of clothing, and who got it after him? Where did it end up in whose hands? In the hands of Nimrod.
That's close.
And Esau got it, stole it from Nimrod. And so he kept them. He didn't trust his wives.
So that's why
he kept them with Rivka. Yeah, that's why she had access to them. So, what are you going to say? Wait, so the clothing were in Gan Eden in and of themselves. So you could have suggested that the clothing just smelled like Gan Eden because maybe they had absorbed the scent of Gan Eden, the fragrance of Gan Eden. Says the Marshal a step further, and he says, you know, there's a shita Etadas tov vara was not apples, but
asrogim. Yeah,
some say it was asrogim. So you know, it could be some guy on the clothing, or maybe who knows. He suggests that the Ilan Shachem Yemenu Adam Rishon Esrogaya, as it says in Mitzvah Moreh.
Oh, so that would also make sense. The Reach Gan Eden.
Yeah, so that's what he suggests, is that the Reach Gan Eden was in the clothing because it got there from the Esrog. That was the Eitz Hadas somehow. I'm not exactly sure how it got on the clothing, but that's what he suggests.
Did Adam take it and like rub it on?
Not so clear on this. They weren't dressed when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, so. Afterwards, somehow, I'm not sure. He doesn't explain. He just suggests. Beisland ilan shachlo meno adam arush esrog haya kiramim pregnant sir mure me oisa esrog kiblu begadav reach esrog shel gan eden. Somehow. So okay, that's pshat A in the marsha, that when you with the scent that Yitzchak smelled or saw, if you will, was the scent of gan eden that was in the clothing of Yaakov Avinu, because he was wearing the chamudos, those articles of clothing that he had gotten from Adam HaRishon and had absorbed the fragrance of the Esrig, which was the Eitz Hadas in Gan Eden, and that was the scent that is being referred to in the pasuk. That's why Kstei Tapuchim really means
Esrog.
Then he says, he says a little bit more, but then he has another chat. And he says, Avo b'breishis rabba l'mashmakein. From breishis rabba, it sounds like that's not the pshat. That's not the pshat! She hereach megan eden bo'al yedem begadim shal Yisav. That the scent was from the clothing. Elisha b'zuchus Yaakov nichnas imo reach gan eden. From breishis rabba, it sounds like Yaakov Avinu came in with the scent of gan eden with him. So let me just read you quickly. It's a very short medrash. Medrash says, "Vayigash, vayishak lo, vayorach is reach begadav." Right? That's the pasuk we're talking about. It says the medrash, "Amar Yochanan, in chadav shereich lekasha min hashetav shel izim." Like Rashi quoted, "What could smell worse than what Yaakov Avinu had on him?" But Amar vayorach is reach begadav vayvarchei, when he smelled him and gave him a bracha because of that. Elo, b'shoshen nichnas Avinu Yaakov etzel aviv. When Yaakov Avinu came into his father, nichnas imoy gan eden. Gan Eden came with him. It doesn't say the smell. It says Gan Eden came with him. Hadahu to Amar Lei. That's what he says. Yitzchak says Re'ei Reich Benika Reich Sadeh. Ubishah Shenichnas Esav. When Esav came in afterwards, Nichnasa Imo Gehenna. What? Did his clothes smell like Gehenna? Meaning the Medrash is paralleling them. That when Yaakov Avinu came in, Gan Eden came in. Well, when Esav came in, Gehenim came in.
That's like the midrash that when Rivka was pregnant and she walked by Bais Knesset or something, that Yaakov would kick. And
well, that's sort of reflective of their natural tendencies, right, or whatever. But here we're saying that somehow Esav,
this is their natural tendencies actualized. That's what this midrash is, no?
Okay, perhaps related. But the point is that along with Yaakov Avinu, it wasn't the smell of his clothing. Along with Yaakov Avinu came the scent of Gan Eden, because Gan Eden came in with him. And therefore, with Esav came Gehenim. Not because he was wearing clothing that had previously been in Gehenim, but rather because that's just what came in with him. And Yitzchak was terrified because of that. So that's what the Marsha is saying. You have these two avenues of understanding what's going on over here. So again, where are we holding? Rashi, it's not really Rashi, it's the Gemara. The Gemara in Taina says that the scent of Yaakov Avinu was Stei Tapuchim. What in the world is going on over here? So Stei Tapuchim is a quote from Shir HaShirim. Stei Tapuchim. So what is going on? What's the Stei Tapuchim? Zok Tosfos Esrog, which is really the Targum on the Pasuk. So Tapuach really means Esrog. So the scent of Gan Eden is the scent of Esrog. Okay, so then what is it? Was it the scent that Yaakov Avinu came in with, like the Medrash Rabba? Or was it the clothing of Yaakov Avinu that had the Esrog smell in it, because that was the Eitz Hadas? And did Gan Eden smell like Stei Tapur, like Esrog, because that was the Eitz Hadas? Or maybe the Medrash didn't trot altogether. Maybe the scent was something else. Who says it has to be an Esrog according to the Medrash? Maybe it was a different scent. But that's what Rashi is saying, that's what the Gemara is saying, is that the scent that came in with him was Reach Tapuchim. So we get the impression that either the scent is from the clothing or it's from Yaakov. Marshall says if it's the clothing, it's because the Eitz HaDaas got on the clothing. And if it's Yaakov Avinu, so then where is the scent coming from? Because Gan Eden comes along with Yaakov Avinu. There's something more inherent to Yaakov. It's not just the clothing. It's something about Yaakov Avinu that brings along Gan Eden along with it. So where in the world do you find that Yaakov Avinu should have Gan Eden with him and should have a scent because of that? So listen to this. You ready? We're getting very close to angels. The Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amar Aleph. You remember what sugya that is? Peches? Shabbos Peches? That's where all the Har Sinai. Really? I'll get it, Tazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar.
Should have
warned that. B'shoa she'ekdimu Yisrael nasel nishma. When Klal Yisrael said first nasel before nishma, that meant that they were going to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. They don't even know what Hashem's going to ask of them. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We're so committed that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what we're going to do. It's only a matter of time before we hear it. But we're going to do it, whatever it is. That was the level of commitment of Klal Yisrael. Yad Zabasko, a heavenly echo emerged. V'amara lohen mi gilol ivonai razeh. Who revealed to my children such a secret? Shemalachei asharis mishtamshim boy. That the angels are mishtamish. They use this secret. Quotes a pasuk that's how they function. Osei devaro. The first they do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says before they listen to his call. So the Malachim are like that. They're Nasa v'nishma. They're a cheftza of Nasa v'nishma. Yeah? They don't ask questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I want. They're ready to do it. Just a question of hearing what Hashem wants from them, but they're the shaliach. Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. What does it mean in the Pasuk in Shirashim when it says, Kitapuach ba'atze hayar? Like a tapuach tree amongst the trees of the forest. Lama nimshul Yisrael the tapuach. Apparently, kitapuach is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Now, I just pause for 1 second. You take a look at this pasuk, kitapuach v'atzei arkin dodi ben habonim. Dodi is a Kaddish Baruch. In Shir HaShirim, dodi is a Kaddish Baruch. So, if the tapuach v'atzei hayar kein dodi means the tapuach is a kadosh baruch, yeah, it's a pashut pshat. But the Gemara here has a drasha, and the Marsha explains the drasha is based on the context and the pasuk before. So, I'm just footnote that this is not the pashut pshat of the pasuk, but it is. It's in the realm of drasha because it's connected to the pasuk before, says the Marsha. So, it's a continuation of really a reference to Klal Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, well, and we're going to speak about this in a minute, so, Kishoishana ben hachoichim. What's a Shoishana? Shoshana. You know my name, Shoshana?
The name? Yeah, Shoshana.
You know what it means? It's a rose. Kishoshana ben hachoichim. What are the chochim? The thorns. Kishoshana ben hachoichim, like a rose amongst the thorns. Kein ra'ayasi ben habonos. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking about Klal Yisrael. So that's Klal Yisrael bein habanos. Kitapuach ba'atzei hayar kein dodi bein habanim. And like the tapuach tree amongst the trees of the forest is dodi bein habanim. So ra'yasi is bein habanos and dodi bein habanim. So you have the female and the male. So the Marsha says kishoshana bein hachochim kein ra'yasi bein habanos, and then you keep going. There's a sof pasuk there, but you keep going as a reference to Klal Yisrael, kitapuach ba'atzei hayar. It's also kitapuach ba'atzei hayar. That's the drasha. Yeah? So according to this Gemara, Klal Yisrael are compared to a tapuach. Why? What do Klal Yisrael have to do with a tapuach? You ready for this? Okay, wait, Ellie's not here. Hear this one. Lo relcha!
To teach you. Gemara still.
Yeah, still the Gemara. Shabbos peches amal. Ma tapuach. Zeh, just like this, I'm going to say this in quotation mark, tapuach. It's like not fair. Sometimes you read the art school and they just like italicize it, you know? But it's the same Hebrew words.
Yeah.
Just like the tapuach, its fruit comes before its leaves. Af Yisrael hikdimu na'aseh l'nishma.
It's potatoes.
Klal Yisrael also said na'aseh for nishma. The fruit comes before the leaves. Potatoes.
That's what grows before the leaves. Little sprouts come up. Before the leaves.
So you want to say potato. And the smell of potato is says gishmak. Okay, so probably not a potato. So, Tysus is bothered by what's bothering you. Tysus says, "Periel kodem lo alav." This Tysus in Shabbos Pechas. Hiksha Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam asked the following question. Hare anu royim. We see with our own eyes that apple trees grow like everything else. First there are leaves, and then there's a little flower, and then the flower, you know, the petals fall off, and the inside of the flower becomes an apple. So the leaves come way before the apple. What are you talking about? What is the Gemara saying? You know, it's not, it's like
potential,
very nice, a drusha, but obviously the tapuach must come before the leaves. What are you talking about? So who wants to take a guess at the answer?
It's an
Esther. It's an Esther. How does that make sense?
Esther goes before the leaves.
Really?
No.
Esther grows the same way.
It's the potential of the fruit.
Esther grows the same way.
The fact that it can grow comes
before. Oh, its smell comes before the leaves even come.
Is that true? Don't the leaves always come on the tree first?
Do cherries?
And then they're flowers.
Like cherries.
And then the flower turns into a fruit. But what are we missing about the Esrog tree? How long does the fruit actually remain on the tree?
The fruit?
Yeah, the Esrog
fruit. Well, the bird picks it off?
No, it's a short amount of time.
No, it's a really long time.
It's a really long time. I don't know what you're talking about.
The fruit can be there. I don't know exactly. We should research it. But the fruit can be there for an extended period of time. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that's the pshat. That the Esrog can be there, Mishana Lashana. And therefore, the Esrog that grew last season is going to still be there when the new leaves grow the next season. So the Piriyoy is Kaidem La'ala. So again, this is another. This is from the Gemara. When the Gemara says a Klai is like a Tapuach because the fruit comes before the leaves.
So Tapuach
sounds like it has to be an Esrog.
But that's Tosfos bringing it up again. So this is two separate Tosfos saying the same thing. No?
Yeah, so but one comes from Shir HaShirim from the Targum Yonasan, but this one is the Gemara, which seems
from
to indicate
the drash of the same pasuk. No?
Yeah, seems to indicate that the connection between the Tapuach and Klal Yisrael, that's what the Gemara is saying, is that the fruit comes before the leaves, and that's seemingly only true of the Esrog tree, if you look at it in this way.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what does that mean about Klal Yisrael? What's Klal Yisrael's connection to a Tapuach?
Well, we just made the connection from now.
So spell it out.
So that the whole drasha was just like the Etrogim are going to be there from year to year, I think.
So if Yaakov Avinu, this is what I'm trying to flesh out. If Yaakov Avinu comes in with a scent of Gan Eden
after flowering.
What?
12 months after flowering.
12 months. So the leaves from the next season come after the Esrog is already there. So if Yaakov Avinu comes in with the scent of Gan Eden, and the scent of Gan Eden is Teita Puchim, and it means an Esrog, the scent of Esrog, why would Yaakov Avinu come in with the scent of Esrog of Gan Eden? So what's the answer? Based on what we're saying. Based this Gemara. So this is Gemara.
Because he did first, he did Nasav and Nishma.
He's certainly Nasav and Nishma. Klal Yisrael Nasav and Nishma. So Klal Yisrael are an Esrog. A Tapuach. Yeah? So the two pshatim in the scent of Yaakov Avinu. One possibility is it's the scent of the Esrog on the clothing. And one possibility is the scent of Yaakov in and of himself. Because Klal Yisrael is Nimshel to the Esrog. So now, back to where we began. So, and by the way, who else should smell like an Esrog then? Who else is Makdim Nasav and Ishma? Halachim. So Klal Yisrael and Malachim have a very interesting connection.
They smell like Esrog.
Okay, I don't know if they smell like Esrog. But there's an interesting connection between the secret. The secret, that's the secret of a Malach. Klal Yisrael has the secret of the Malach. And that secret of the Malach is the secret of the Esrog. The secret of the Esrog is that the Esrog comes before the leaves. Nasa before Nishma. That's the Asiya. The Asiya is pre.
Wait, but does it? I don't think. Did we came to that conclusion? Just to make sure.
What?
Esrog comes before the leaves?
Yeah, because think about it like this.
The way it grows
after
one
season, right?
Right, and
then it's going through 12 months on the tree.
Right.
But the tree's still going to be going through its natural process of losing the leaves
sometimes,
and then growing them again.
Right. Good.
Oh, does Shemitah have anything with like?
Yeah, it has big nafkamis for Shemitah. What year is the fruit from?
Right.
which is chest. Big enough penis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why.
But the hedgehog.
Yeah, but when it grows.
Is the answer going to be a problem this year? It's going to be a problem next year.
Next year.
Oh. So, now. So, what we set up so far was 2 points. Number one, the scent of Klal Yisrael, scent of Yaakov Avinu, is either from the clothing, which is superficial, or is from the essence of Yaakov Avinu. Yeah? That's point A. And we're pointing out that the essence of Klal Yisrael is the essence. Makdim Nasev and Nishma. And we even pointed out that there's a connection there between Klal Yisrael and Malachim. So now back to where we began. The simen of the tapuach. Now we're not dipping an esrog in honey. The shaila is why not? Because if the tapuach is supposed to represent an esrog, and everyone seems to point, you know, stay tapuachim, this is the Rashi, stay tapuachim, the idea of the tapuach somehow. So then, why are we ending up with an apple? So, I have a theory. This is a real theory, so I don't know if this is true. You know, the Vilna Gaon didn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah.
Did or did not?
Did not.
Oh, I heard why you shouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah.
Why?
No, I heard that you shouldn't. I don't know why, sorry.
That's a minhag grow. Why? Because what else happened on Rosh Hashanah? That's when Adam was created, and Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas.
And he holds that it's grapes.
One shita is that grapes with the Eitz Hadas.
Yeah.
So wine is different. Wine is grapes that changed. But the grape themselves, so how you talking we should eat from the Eitz Hadas?
What about grape juice?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Now, so I have a theory. My theory is, so really, maybe Taka should be dipping an estrog into honey. Or maybe eating an estrog on Rosh Hashanah, for the reason that we'll flesh out in a minute.
Oh, but because it's according to the shita that holds that it's
good.
That, so it's a remnant, also to chait.
Good. So we don't want to eat from the Eitz Hadas on Rosh Hashanah, the day that it actually happens. So what do we do instead?
Apple.
We eat a tapuach, because we call it a tapuach. But it's the same fruit. Right?
It's
a tapuach. It's the same name, I mean. It has the same name. Because we call it a tapuach. Now it fits a little bit better in a certain way to the simonim in general, because the simonim in general are based on their names.
When did we start calling
you with me on that? Like the Gezer and the Gezer Din, the Karsi and the Karre, Silka and the Salig. And now it's a tapuach because it has the name of the tapuach, even though it's not a tapuach.
So that's also why it wouldn't be in the year on its own, because you don't want to have the remez to the chay?
I don't know.
And that's why it would be
the tapuach? I don't know. We'll get that in a second. Yeah, what?
When did we start calling it tapuach?
I have no idea.
Modern.
It's a good question. No, I don't know. It's clear. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay, so now, if you would have asked me before I said anything today, actually it's not true, if you would have asked me before I had thought about it, so I guess the pashim shot into being an apple and honey is because there's another entire avenue of understanding of state tapuchim. Alpikabala, state tapuchim may have to do with shechina, state tapuchim may have to do with midas hadin. So, alpikabala, the idea of taking a tapuach.
I thought Yitzchak's midah was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not Yaakov.
Okay, fair enough. But you take a look. A lot of makaris that the shtei tapuchim may refer to shchina, maybe midas adin. So be that as it may, dipping din into honey is a classic concept of sweetening the din. Yeah? Sweetening the din. Yeah. So that's the pashim shat. You take an apple, you dip it in honey, you sweeten the din. That's what we're trying to represent on Rosh Hashanah. Shaila is, if that's what we're trying to do,
the wine apple.
So, the Bira Gro, the Gain on that simon in Shulchan Aruch, of the Tapuach, says, Al Shem Upiryoi Masoik Lechiki. Because the fruit, that's called Tapuach, is sweet to my palate. Says HaKadosh Baruch, right? The fruit is sweet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sweet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What, the din is sweet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Doesn't sound right. Ukemo Shekasev, as the pasuk says, Kireach Sadeh. That's, what pasuk is that? Kireach Sadeh. Asher Baruch Hu Hashem. That's what Yitzchak says. Umetargam Inan, Chakal Tapuchin. Stay Tapuchin, Chakal Tapuchin. Bahia Barosh Hashanah Ki Yadua, and Taka, that was on Rosh Hashanah. we usually sing this Pesach. Okay, whatever. But that's what the Kohen says over there. So the Shaila was like this. What is the simen of the apple? Is it stam, the sweetening of the din, or is it something completely different that has to do with Yitzchak and the state of Puchim, and that Yaakov Avinu comes in with a scent of Gan Eden? See, if you say it's Yaakov Avinu, so then what's the pshat? So I would respectfully submit to the jury present that the idea is we want to show that Klal Yisrael are at Tapuach.
And still Nasa v'Nishma.
We have Nasa v'Nishma. We're like a Malach. And we're already headed towards Yom Kippur. Small footnote. Rav Becher was speaking to the waiters on Shabbos, the Shabbaton, and he said such an interesting word. He said, at the beginning of Yom Kippur, when we say Shema and Maariv, so what do we do with Baruch Shem? What about Maariv Motzi Yom Kippur? But when are you more likely to be a Malach? When Yom Kippur first starts, or by the time you're finished with Yom Kippur?
Finish.
So why shouldn't we say it when Yom Kippur is over?
Because it's
no, because on Yom
Hashem is left.
No, on Yom Kippur.
But aren't you a Malach?
Because you're already, because it's sealed.
No, it's not.
It's done.
It is until Shmini Atzeret.
But aren't you a Malach by then? Haven't you worked on yourself? By the time Yom Kippur is over, are you more of a Malach than you were when it began? So you're saying, come on, Pash of Shad, it's an Indian of Kedushas Hayoim, and if he makes it to Malach, it was over, okay, again. So he had a different word. He said that when Yaakov Avinu is on his way to Lavan's house, so remember, he falls asleep, and he has a dream of what?
Malachim
going
up and down.
Usually Malachim,
you're doing the
down and then up. What are Malachim going up first? Don't Malachim come down from Shemayim before they go up? So shouldn't it be that Malachim went down and then up? Not up and then down.
So
why are they going up?
Because they have to be down the whole time.
Says Rashi, because these were Malachim from Eretz Yisrael. And he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. So he's getting new Malachim. But wait a minute, where is he?
He's
on the border?
No, he's
still in Eretz Yisrael. He's in the Makom HaMikdash. Why is he losing the Malachim from Eretz Yisrael? So it's the Teretz. Because he says the Ma'ara, because he's leaving. Did he leave yet? No, but he's leaving. That's the vector. He's leaving. So if he's leaving, it's like he left. Because he's leaving. But on the way back, it happens again. He comes to the camp, it's called Machanayim. And he's not in Eretz Yisrael yet. And it's a double camp because, again, it's a switching of the Malachim. So what's switching of Malachim? He's not Eretz Yisrael. What Malachim is he getting?
It's Malachim from Eretz Yisrael.
Because now where is he going?
It's vector.
So it says...
But why doesn't he just get it in the beginning? Why does it need to wait until then?
At what point? Okay, I don't know. But the point being that when a person's... when the direction is headed in a certain way, so then he's already on his way. So when a person starts Yom Kippur, he's on his way to becoming a Malach. So it's Shoira already. He's already becoming a Malach. Says the Esrog and Rosh Hashanah, we're already beginning the process.
Oh, so that's why you...
We're already beginning the process now.
Because at the beginning of Yom Kippur, you're on the vector.
Right.
So that's when the changing would happen.
Right. So I'm adding to that. I'm adding to that we're representing it already with the Esrog and Rosh Hashanah. Because the Esrog is not Seven Ishma. The Tapuach. Because the Tapuach is Nasa v'Nishma. Yeah? And that's the secret of the Malach.
Can you say that one more time?
The Tapuach, what's the simon of eating the Tapuach? So I'm arguing it's not dipping it in the honey. The honey is there because we want it to be sweet. It's true, we want it to be sweet. But really what we're doing is eating the Esrog, the Tapuach. We're eating the Tapuach. Why are we eating the Tapuach? Because that's the simon. All the simonim that we do are not in dipping it or something. It's in the eating of it. Well, we take it, we say, oh, he wrote on that with my eating of this, it should be a year like this. It should be a year where Klal Yisrael Malachim. So the simon's in the eating of the Tavuach.
So why isn't he here on song about?
That's why it's going to be Shana Tova Mesukah. Because that's our Madrei.
Oh, okay.
Maybe this is too fanciful. But you hear what I'm suggesting? So that's the tapuach. The tapuach is because...
Can you explain why we say it?
Why
the
what?
The Yiratzon?
Yeah.
Because once you're already on the vector, then you're saying the Yiratzon that it should keep being...
Oh, fine. Okay.
You keep going.
Yeah.
So that's already begun. We're already on our way to the Nasa Venishma, which is the secret of the Maloch. Because on our way to Yom Kippur. So we only have one step to flesh out, and that's what's the connection between the Malachim over here. But that's it's pretty clear already, no? That Klal Yisrael are Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malachim in Olam Hazeh. When we're Makdim Nasa Venishma. When we've committed ourselves to doing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu says without asking questions, you know. When it's just a matter of time before we discover what exactly Hashem wants from us. But we're waiting just to hear. Because whatever he says, we're going to do. It's not a question. So Rosh Hashanah is the Kabbalah of all of that. Rosh Hashanah is when we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. The Melech says we do. So that's the Tapuach. The Tapuach is the Nasa V'Nishma. The pre comes before the leaves. In Kippur, we work on ourselves until we achieve such a level for real. So that's why we do all kinds of things to make ourselves into Malachim on Yom Kippur.
That's what we just also tickle.
The Kittel.
Kittel.
So first things first, there's an Inyan to go to the mikveh before Yom Kippur, right?
And Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
So specifically before Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah says, Yachal Litbov, Lukos, Masashi Yirtzeh, you can get your Malchus whenever you want. Rakshi Kodam Alayla, Venim Abarach Alatvila. It says you should go to the mikveh before. So the Torah writes over there based on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer Shenekayim Kemalachei Asharis B'Yom HaKippurim, because the idea of Tevila, of Tahara, is the idea of starting to become like a Malach. And of course, Yesh Kasu Shenagu Lilvosh Begadim, what color? White. Nikiyim, clean. Dugmas Malachei Asharis. So we've got mikvah, we've got clothing, V'cheinogin Lilvosh HaKittel. Yesh omdim al raglehem kol hayom v'chol halayla.
Stand on your feet all day.
So the Mepharshim say it doesn't mean when you're sleeping. Don't get nervous. You don't have to sleep like a horse. But it means that during davening, people stand as much as possible because malachim don't have joints. They don't have knees. They're regular yishara. So we want to be like malachim. So tevila, clothing,
also, like, stand,
the way we stand on Yom Kippur.
You need to
stand
with your
feet
together.
So it's like one.
Okay, so whatever you can do, at least to stand, if you need to be together. Okay. And of course, what we've been talking about, which is this is the connection yesterday and today, that B'leil Yom Kippur Macharos Omrim Baruch Shem Kavod Mechuz Olam Be'Kol Ram. We say Baruch Shem out loud. Again.
Malachim.
Kimalachim.
So four different ways.
At least. What's the idea of Bakashas Mechila? So you'll say, well, that's a Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that you don't get Kapara and Biranam L'Chaveiro Ad Shiratis Chaveir, right?
Right, just have a share.
Yeah, but isn't there also the idea that every single night when you go to sleep, you're supposed to have a mocha on anyone?
Right, I say that every night.
Yes. But that may not preclude the requirement of Bakashas Mechila anyway. It's a good question. But in any case, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer actually says that one of the things that's unique about Malachim is the Shalom Beinayim. And the idea that Klal Yisrael should be Malachim on Yom Kippur is that there should be Shalom Beinayim. That's also an inyan of being a Malach.
So that's why you say Machine.
That's also part of it. Another part of it. Another piece in the big puzzle. Anyway, so there are a lot of things that we do. So we asked yesterday, but wait a minute. We have like three reasons now for Baruch Shem. Remember? Because on the one hand, we saw that the Goyen has the idea of Beis HaMikdash. Kishem HaShem Ekrav HaGoyen L'Elokeinu, right?
Oh, yeah, that's Shliach Tzibur Zekor.
And then we have the Gemara in Pesachim, that Yaakov Avinu, he felt the Shekhinah leave him, he's trying to reveal the end of days.
So we say Baruch Shem.
But we say it B'Chashai, and then remember the Mashal of the Gemara? Like the princess,
yeah.
she smells the food, but you know, it's a princess, she has to do things right. So her trusty servant goes and sneaks her a snack. So we say Baruch Shem B'Chashai. And then you have the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that on Yom Kippur, an element of being a Malach is to say Baruch Shem out loud. So the question is there a way to put all of this together or not? Because on the one hand, the Torah, halach l'maisa, we say it b'chashai because of Yaakov Avinu, because the Gemara says. That's why, generally speaking, we whisper Baruch Shem. But then why in the world are we saying it out loud?
I know,
Can you kippur? The answer is because we're like malachim. Well, so that's why we whispered it the other time.
Maybe the princess, it was on Yom Kippur.
It was right before Yom Kippur.
Or right before.
And then the shtiebel there, the stadium.
There was an angel somewhere.
So,
still,
at the end of the day, it seems that the Madrega of Malochim puts us Mamash in the Beis HaMikdash, no?
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur were Mamash in the Beis HaMikdash. And we spoke yesterday about the Chazan being the Kohen Gadol.
Can you also say something like, we said that for Malachim there's Shalom Binayim, and that the whole, the reason why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam.
So right.
There's a whole added area in regards to those two, that Dafka being like Malachim is what we need to do in order to get back the Beis HaMikdash. So as Kapara for Chayiv.
Could be. Could be related. What do you say?
About
how we put it all together.
I gave my suggestion.
What'd you say? What's your suggestion?
The princess is eating on Yom Kippur?
No. That's like, I don't know, tying all the ideas together or tying the reasons.
Yeah. Tie it all together.
I think it was tied together well.
There are three different ideas.
There's multiple ideas.
The Kohen in
Ah, so really, the Chazan should be a Kohen anyway, so he could be the Kohen Gadol.
You mentioned it as a Kohen.
You want to preserve it? You want to preserve it?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
Are you in your core?
No. Are you in a core?
No.
I was just curious. No. Other side. Sorry. Yeah,
sorry.
I am.
I'm sorry.
From Canada. Ridiculous.
Wait, let me throw this out there. I just want to finish with this thought. Can you tell me what you think? You know, we're the princess in the story, right? In the mashal, we're the princess. Yeah. And the pashup shat in the Gemara is, of course, that we want to say Baruch Shem because we want to, like, relive that moment. But we can't. Why? Because it doesn't say in Chumash. Maybe we can adjust that. Maybe we should say that we, if we were to say Baruch Shem, who said Baruch Shem? But again, how did it work? Yaakov Avinu feels he lost the Shechina, and he feels there must be something wrong with his children, if that's true. So they reassure him by saying, Shema Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So who responds to them? Yaakov Avinu himself. Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchus Leilam Boer. Yaakov Avinu, what was the reyach that he entered into Yitzchak with?
Gan Eden.
The reyach of Gan Eden. The reyach of Gan Eden is the Esrig. Why is it the Esrig? Because it's like a malach. It's like Nasa v'Nishma. Yaakov Avinu is on such a madrega. He's on the madrega of a malach. He can say, Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchus Olam Voed. And you know what? We want to be there. We want to be on the madrega of Yaakov Avinu. We want to be that malach that we're so committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're saying at Har Sinai again, Na'aseh v'nishma, HaKadosh, whatever you say, I'm going to do. It's only a matter of listening to what you're going to tell me to do. But whatever it says, I'm going to do it. No shy. So the princess wants to be able to take part in that Sa'uda, but she wants a snack now because she can't wait. And that's where we're holding to. We'd love to be Yaakov Avinu. We're a malach, we're dressed up. We've got all the props ready. We've eaten the tapuach. We've done all the things to be a malach. We've done all the things to be Yaakov. We've done all the things to have reach Gan Eden. We've done all the things to be an Esrei. But it's an avoid. So for us to say, we're on such a madrega that we're going to say, Baruch Shem, Kavod Mechus, Olam Vod, out loud. So the rest of the year, we can't do it. We can't do it. Can't do it, not just because it's not written in the Torah. It's not written in the Torah because that's not our madrega. Why is it not written in the Torah? It's not written in the Torah because we can't say that out loud on a regular basis. Only Yaakov Avinu can. Because he's mamash nekamach. But we want to. We would love to be on such a madrega. We strive to be on such a madrega. So we're dying to say it. So what do? We whisper it. That's the rest of the year. But Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Yom Kippur, we've been working on ourselves. Yom Kippur, we're on the Madrega of Amalach, then Taka, we can say it. And Yom Kippur, we can say, Baruch Hashem, Kavod Malchus, Aliyah Lepuvet. We can really tap into the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is real. And we feel it on Yom Kippur. Especially by the end. Even though we stop saying it once Yom Kippur is over. But that's the challenge. But it's not the clothing. It's not just superficial. We can't leave the malach. We can't leave the tapuach. We can't leave the esrig in the clothing of Yom Kippur. No. Klal Yisrael has to be it. Klal Yisrael has to be the tapuach. That's what we're striving for. We want to be the Klal Yisrael. In other words, if a person's wearing the clothing, they smell like Gan Eden, so then you know what? Probably you'll have to say Baruch Shem with a whisper. Now, Esav had clothing that, according to that, smelled like Gan Eden. Right? It's like the pig. The pig comes to you with his split hooves. Right? And he says, kosher, kosher. But you look inside and he's treif. Right? That's the externals. But the whole goal is to make that something real where the cheftza, where the person becomes a cheftza of a tapuach. That's the other pshat. So I want to finish with this word. You ready for this? What am I trying to say? That Rosh Hashanah begins with the tapuach because it's the achilas a tapuach. Aye, there's honey too? Yeah, in the chanam. But the tapuach is the ikar, and the honey is tafel. The ikar is the tapuach because that's where we're headed. We're headed to the Esrig because that's the Nasa V'nishma. That's what it means to be a Malach. And by the time Yom Kippur is over, that's where we should be. Not because we're dressed in the external expression of Gan Eden, the external expression of the Esrig, of the scent, but because it's part of us, it's who we've become. That's where we're headed, and that's where we're starting already in Rosh Hashanah. That's the Sinan. That's the Sinan type for the year. But the problem is, the Pasuk says that Yitzchak smelled the smell of his clothing. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Vayarchas Reach Bigadav. So we never asked this question. According to the Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu came in with the scent of Gan Eden, it's Yaakov, it's not the clothing. But the Pasuk says it was the clothing. Vayarchas Reach Bigadav. So how can we possibly say it's the scent of Yaakov himself? And that's what we've been, that's the whole point of this whole shiur.
The clothes is on Yaakov.
What?
The clothes is on
Yaakov. Yeah, but that's the Marsha said. There are two pshatim here. The first pshat is the clothing. It says the Esrig got on the clothing. But the second pshat is that it nichnasa imo Gan Eden. That's why Esav is parallel. Nichnasa imo Gehenna. Not because his clothes smell like Gehenna. Because he came in with Gehenna. And Yaakov comes in with Gan Eden. Yaakov Avinu comes in with the Reach of Gan Eden because of that. Because he's a Malach. He's a Tapuach. He's the Esrig. Klal Yisrael is the Esrig because Nasa v'nishma and the fruit comes before the leaves. So how do you read it back into the Pasuk? You hear the Kasha? Pasuk says Yitzchak smelled Reach Big Gadav. So it's against the Pasuk. It's against the Pasuk. So the answer is there's a Medrash. The Medrash says, and we'll finish with this Medrash.
There's a medrash to explain the medrash to put it back into the pasuk.
Yeah, there's a medrash on the pasuk. The medrash on the pasuk says, "Bayorach es reyach." You ready for this? Bogidov.
What does that mean?
Bo. What does it mean? What is what's a bogidov?
Bo is it.
There is a Gemara Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph that says that pasuk again. Keshoshana bin Hachuchim. So it says this pasuk Yisrael also revolves around Shoshanim, also Suga b'Shoshanim. That there's a siyug. I'll regal achas to finish up. Kasha's like this. Guy's married. His wife becomes a nida. How come they're allowed to like stay together? Shouldn't it be like an Isser Yichud or something? I mean, if he sleeps with her, it's an Isser Karis. It's a pretty big deal.
Because of the Kiddushin.
Yeah, but how does that make sense? I mean, this is a serious Aveira on our hands. Why are we not creating greater roadblocks? We have our Harchakos. We have certain things that we do to stay away. What?
She's in Nida. They sleep with her beds.
Yeah, we have certain Harchakos.
Okay.
But you know, it's a pretty big deal. So the Gemara is bothered by this. The Gemara says, that's klai, so go b'shoshanim. That it's enough that they have a fence of like, you know, roses. Klal Yisrael inherently wants to do the right thing. All you need is a little reminder, and Klal Yisrael will be okay. That's the nature of Klal Yisrael. That's who we are. And the Gemara gets involved over here, Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, with this idea that Klal Yisrael doesn't need a lot. And in that context, it says, Rabbi Zera Omer Mehacha. Rabbi Zera saw this idea in our pasuk. Vayarach es reyach begadav. That when Yitzchak smelled the scent of, quote unquote, begadav, that's when he gave the bracha to Yaakov. And what does it mean he smelled his clothing? No. Al tikre begadav ela bogadav. When Yitzchak Avinu smelled the scent of Gan Eden, in the Bogdim, in the rebellious members of Klal Yisrael, that's when he gave the bracha to Yaakov.
Bogadav means the rebellious ones?
Mm-hmm.
So,
how would you make of that?
When he smelled the rebellious ones in the smell of
that's what he Gan smelled. Eden. He smelled the rebellious ones within Yaakov Avinu. Those Yidden who will come later on that are not doing the right thing.
But even so, there's still Gan Eden coming.
Gan Eden is in there.
As opposed to the opposite, which for Esav, the Bogdav were Gehenna.
He came in with Gehenna.
Because all you need is a little reminder. You just needed that little reminder.
So he knew it was Yaakov, but because he smelled...
Whatever he sensed was in front of him. He knew that this was something that was... Gan Eden was in it. And that's when he gave his bracha. And the Gemara tells a little story, and it says that in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zera, who said this, he was trying to be makariv these fellows who were not so from. And the Rabbanan didn't agree with his mahalach. And when Rabbi Zera, because they figured they're just using you, you know, because you're going to daven for them, and then they'll be okay, and so they're not going to do tshuva, as long as you have this relationship with them. Better that you don't have this relationship with them to force them to do tshuva. Kinach nafshi to Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera died. Guess what these people said? Oyvei. Ad ha'idna habicharicha cut in sakya the habiboyal arachane, the whatever it's a nickname for him, when Rabbi Zera would daven for us. Hashta man boyal arachane, who's going to daven for us? We're in big trouble. Hirhuru b'libayu, so they had hirhuru tshuva, but of the tshuva, and they did tshuva. So ultimately, he was makariv. He saw in the bogadav, he saw Gan Eden. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelak olam haba. The Gan Eden is already inherent in every yid.
So then what does it mean that you lose your kafal and haba?
That's, you have to lose it. It's to be lost. But it doesn't have to even be gained. Yaakov Avinu is referred to as mitaso shlema. Before Yaakov Avinu, if someone went off of the derech, you stopped following the pathway of Avram Avinu, they were no longer considered quote-unquote Jewish. But after Yaakov Avinu, it's Bnei Yisrael. There's no such thing called ceasing to be part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah? All of his children were all Klal Yisrael. After Yaakov Avinu, there's no way out. That's the Reich Bogdav. Kol Yisrael Yesh L'chel Vavu. No matter how far a person strays, the Gan Eden is within him. He comes with Reich Gan Eden. And the future Mashiach will smell who's a Jew and who's not. The Reich of Gan Eden is there.
Interesting.
So Rabbi Bachaya, he just finished, just trying to wrap it up. He says, you know, when the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shochein Itam B'soch Tumah Asam, they dwells with Klal Yisrael, even in their Tumah, that the Shechina goes with Klal Yisrael wherever they go, no matter how far they fall. Afal Pishahem Temeyim Shechina Beineyim, no matter how Tumah Klal Yisrael is, Shechina is with them. He says, and there's an opinion, he says, some Rishon he quotes, that holds that Taka, you could use Schach from a Dover HaMakabal Tumah. Because the Schach represents the Anani Yaakov, the Schach represents the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if you're Mesachek with a Dover, this Makabal Tumah, it's like mixing up the Shechina with Tumah. See, he says there, we don't pass it this way, but he says there's an opinion that holds that you can even do that. HaShochin Itam B'Soch Tumah Osam. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael, no matter how low they fall.
Interesting.
So that's the pshat that Klal Yisrael is the Esrog. The Esrog is within Klal Yisrael. The Tapuach is Klal Yisrael. And even Reach Bogadav, that's how you read it the other way. And if it's Reach Begadav, so you smell that it's a very superficial scent. That's Esav's clothing. But the Reach of Bogadav means that the set, Gan Eden came in with Yaakov Avinu. What do you mean? When it says that he smelled the clothing, he had to like smell the clothing. No. According to this, Gemara Sanhedrin, Zion, he smelled the scent of the future Doros of Yaakov Avinu, the Gan Eden is inherent amongst them. No matter how far they stray. That's when he gave up the bracha. Klal Yisrael, we're malachim! We want to be malachim, so generally we only say it b'chashak. We whisper it. But every member of Klal Yisrael wants to be a malach.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
And Yom Kippur, we get to do it. And we say, Baruch Shem, Kvod Mechus Eilam Voed. But that, Chevra, is the angelic, apple. The apple, the Esrog, and the angel.
An apple? An apple.